Hi, and welcome back to Transvox. It's been a week. It's been a week. It's only 7 days since we were chatting about neurodiversity, and the world seemed a lovely place. And here we are again, another week down the line, and Jen has a lot to say. So I'm going to basically grab a cup of tea and let her issue forth, and I'll probably arrive back in about 29 and a half minutes and wrap things up. So Jen, tell us about all the news that's been happening this week. Oh, before you start though, I did see Kemi Badenoch getting well and truly skewered the other day on her views that there's been a massive uprising about mental health problems for cis girls being harmed by having to share bathrooms with trans people. And eventually
Nonsense.
the question was, well, what's your evidence for this? How many people have you heard of? And someone and Kemi Badenoch came back and said, well, what I heard it from one person. So it's been the nature of this week that the question, which is what's your evidence, is one of the best questions you can ever ask one of our beautiful Tory dog whistlers. So anyway, stand
Indeed.
back,
Well,
prepare your loins.
see,
Jenny's
now
going
you've built
to
it.
issue
Now
forth.
you're building me up anyway. But welcome, thanks everybody, and welcome. Hi everybody. Nice to be back, and I've got an all new microphone, so hopefully I'm sounding better than previously, although I
Sexy.
can't guarantee the con my content will be any better or any more coherent, but it might sound a bit better. But yeah, welcome Jill. It's great to see you. And yeah, it's been it feels like every week we go, God, this couldn't get worse. It's been another bad year for our community. There's another bad week. Yes, another kick, and it comes to a point. But I think this is what's been announced that will go into this week is what I've feared for a long time might happen as somebody who works in the NHS. And I think it has some very serious ramifications. So I think some of you all have heard this, but the government, through the health minister, has decided they're going to consult on changing the NHS constitution, which is I think a guidance document for NHS trusts. It's not law in of itself. But the gist of it is they want to be able to suggest that trans people would not be on would be put inside rooms rather than on single sex wards. So mainly we're talking about trans women in this respect would go into a side room, and that a if a nurse if a patient didn't want to be treated by a trans woman, they could object to that. Basically, if a patient said they didn't regard I wanted a female nurse, that would they could exclude trans women from that. So basically excluding marginalizing both patients and staff in the NHS. As somebody who works in the NHS, I have to say this is pretty devastating. Now I don't think there's support for this within NHS trusts and employers. Certainly don't hear that language. But if this did become enshrined in the constitution, this is really serious. And it's funny. I said to Jill before, come on. I said, how much am I allowed to swear in podcasts? I can't quite remember. And I feel very sweary. But suddenly, when you've built me up like that, I don't know how to swear about it. But I'm fucking furious and fucking upset at the moment. And I've cried. I don't know anyone else because it just feels like yet another kick in the teeth. And and it's hard not to take these things personally. I mean, it really is. I mean, you think about what they're proposing. They obviously couch this in the language of we're looking after protecting single sex spaces and dignity and all this sort of stuff. There is obviously, you said, there's no evidence that there's been any problems caused by trans patients, non-binary patients being accommodated in their correct gender, their gender they identify as. There's no evidence of that anywhere. Even one, even if there was a handful, it wouldn't be enough to do that. But there's been none to my instance, and neither has been any issues raised about any issues with trans patients supporting trans staff supporting patients. So you can only read into this. This is saying. Because how would you feel? And those of you who are not, if you were put in, said you can't be in this ward, you need to go in a side room, okay? And the only upshot of that is that in some way you're some sort of threat to people.
Mm.
Well, you know, okay. I think the hospital said, well, not that you're a threat, but some people might feel uncomfortable. I mean, substitute trans for any other protected characteristic and say you need to be put in a side room, you need to be out of the way, your dignity, you know, and of course nobody would tolerate that. This is about the worst possible news we could have in the NHS. The trust I work for, it's against the policy we've got agreed, our clear policy that we support trans people. It will be a barrier to trans people accessing healthcare, because if they feel they're not going to be treated as a woman, you know, as a trans woman or as a trans man who's treated with respect, they are less likely to access healthcare. We know that's the case, which is going to affect it. All it's going to do is hit our already marginalised community even harder. It has got no benefits and downsides for us. It is purely dogmatic, as you mentioned, dog whistle, dogmatic, pandering politics. And it is scary to me. It's scary.
So it is interesting, isn't it, that I mean, I always believe in following America. I always believe in that we do follow the American curve. I believe the agenda for the supposed woke deep state, old, you know, two is just a distraction from reality. And we see it in this country, don't we? Sort of Rishi Sunak standing up and lying in a sort of jingoistic way about defence statements. I mean, pure lies. That £75 billion was supposed to be signed. It's just a lie, just brazen.
Yeah.
And of course, the Rwanda thing is just brazen. And actually, the thing to do is when the heat turns up, you notice there's also a shift in the, you also see a shift in the trans rhetoric. But the thing with the NHS constitution, again, that's come out. But the good thing is this, is that there is an 8-week consultation period. And it's really important that we actually mobilise our communities and start to write and actually find out how to take part in that constitution and, consultation and add our voices. Because the good thing about the NHS is that the NHS are the people who will monitor the consultation and publish the results. It won't be the government. And as you said last time, Jenna, when we were chatting beforehand, people have a habit of ignoring what goes on in the world. And so it's entirely possible for people in the NHS to ignore what happens. The people I've talked to in the NHS have been actually clear on one thing, which is patient outcomes, which is what they're measured on. And what they've always said to me is that if we can get better patient outcomes by treating trans people with respect, using the right pronouns and treating them and giving them space as they can, we'll always do it because it improves our numbers. And that's what they're really interested in at the end of the day. Or am I being overly cynical there?
I don't think you're being cynical. I mean, I work in the NHS, and I'm genuinely I work for two trusts in the community. We talk about matters of inclusion and equality all the time. And I think there's a genuine view to treat all communities right. I don't think it's just tick boxing. They're not measured against LGBTQ equality in the same way as they are race equality in the NHS, for instance, and yet I've never seen either of my trusts waver in wanting to support. And I get that across the whole of the NHS when I speak to colleagues. I'm not saying every manager, every person. So I don't think, I think there is a more genuine view because lots of good people in the NHS and it's the right thing to do. I am less confident than you that the NHS will go, okay, you know, we don't agree with this government, because this is a very strong steer and the government about what they want to see. And we're talking about when you start to talk about NHS England and not the NHS providers that we all know that we go to, but actually bigger bodies, and whether they're prepared to sort of judge against what the government is giving a very strong steer, very clear what the government feels, very clear what the Department of Health will feel as part of the government in terms of that. Because the health secretary said it. Also, health secretary also said she doesn't think the NHS should be employing equality, diversity, inclusion advisors who are there to help better care for patients. And so you can see where the government are coming from. And you're right. I mean, we need to engage in the consultation. I personally think I'm really encouraging organisations to get involved. I think we all need to engage in it. But my fear is, just as we've seen previously, that our voices get ignored because we are affected by this. You've seen this in terms of the CAST report, which didn't even listen to trans voices at all. So didn't even consult with them. So and it was the same on the self-ID consultation. Some people dismissed it as saying, well, that was trans activists responding, as if somehow we haven't got a voice in this, you know?
Mm.
So I think we should all do that. But I think if anybody has organisations, particularly if they're organisations affected by the NHS, or I'm involved in unions, so I'm hoping my union will respond. I'm hoping professional bodies will respond. And anybody that's got, any sort of power in this to respond to that consultation. Because if we don't win this argument, and it is enshrined in constitution, I think it's going to be very difficult to roll that back. It won't be law, and I think a lot of trusts won't immediately change anything, but it will give the open door anybody that is anti-trans, so-called gender critical, but transphobic from where I sit, to raise issues. And you can see that it's been raised and you can see it happening. And I think we have to, it's the fight of our lives, because once it's enshrined in something like the NHS, that trans, for instance, that trans women need to be treated separately than other women, that legitimizes it everywhere. Because they're saying this is part in line with the Equality Act, and even the cowardly, a party I'm a member of, but the venally cowardly Labour Party have expressed something similar, saying, well, the Equality Act says that, because they get into this single-sex spaces and so forth argument in the Equality Act. Once it's there, that will be a green light for anybody to start to do that, if the NHS does it, right? So where the Equality Act says you're supposed to deal with these matters on a case-by-case basis, this change in the Constitution will say it's not case-by-case basis. We can do it as a blanket response. And I think this has such... and I don't even actually know in America, in some of the worst states in America, that they've got policies that say a patient needs to be put, a trans patient needs to be separated away from the general population.
I would get you.
Well, they've got other things. They've got other things that are much
worse than that in the States. Yeah.
No, they've got other things that are much worse. I agree with you, but I don't know that, because it relates to the bathroom bills that actually weren't successful when they tried to introduce the bathroom bills in America. It's the same sort of thing, really, of saying, you know, you need to keep trans women particularly out of this space, right? And and those were defeated in the main, and that's why they moved on to different targets. And I know there's worse things being said, but I'm not sure that there's anything I've read in law that says a patient would be a trans patient. I'm presuming they have single-sex wards in America. Should be put in a... Maybe everybody's inside rooms, that's why. But, I don't know. As you can tell, I'm...
It's tricky, isn't it? It's hard to see a way through this. But I think, practically speaking, I think what you've said is really useful there. If you're in a union, you have to pressure your union. If you're in a professional body, I'm in a professional body, I'll be pressuring mine. If you can find your way through to the... I've just been looking on the gov.uk website. It is possible to be able to contribute ourselves. I think some of the big LGBT organizations, Stonewall, Translucent, Transaction, all these sort of places, Consortium, all these people, again, look on their websites, find a way to get into that. The thing is, there aren't many of us, but if enough of us make a fuss, then, that's quite powerful as it is. And there are enough allies as well out there to be able to make a fuss on our, on our behalf as well. And I think that's part of it. It's reaching... this is the point where allies need to really be allies, rather than sort of saying, I'm going to, congratulations, giving us a round of applause because we're very brave. What we actually need to do is stand by us a little bit now. And I think if allies can do that, if we have the same number of allies as trans people, then we'd be a pretty significant community. So, that's part of what we do.
Yeah. And then cisgendered allies, if they want to respond and say, I'm not trans, I'm cisgendered, but I'm more than happy to share ward space. I am more than happy to be treated. This is nonsense. This is utter not. And the state the NHS is in at the moment, which is pretty perilous financially, I see this day in, day out. It's really difficult post-COVID. And this is what this government wants to focus on.
Well,
you're telling
point,
me yeah. that this is the issue of the day in the NHS, is they want to make publicity around this. You're seriously telling me that this is a credible, serious political party anymore? It fails me, but you know.
I think the problem, I think the key for us is, I think the key for us is actually to focus on the Labour Party. And I know, I agree with everything you've said about them, but they're coming in and it's possible to move things around when organisations are coming. But the trouble is, trans rights are very, very long way down the list of things which are broken in this country and need fixing. And things will be more broken because there's a sort of scorched earth thing taking place now, and we're just part of that. We can see the move working against, you know, we can see the anti-female zeitgeist as well. This is a bigger thing than just as trans people, but the trouble is some of our gender critical feminist colleagues in the world, they don't see that they're next in line, and once, because they think they're gaining power from this, but they're not. That, what they're doing is in legislation has been informed and enforced, which will actually be used to affect other people. Queer people next. It's on the way. And I think, again, if we can figure out and get queer people involved in this fight, so much the better, because actually it was a short step from saying that sexual orientation rights will also be lost next. And actually, do you know what? It's not far away from disability rights moving as well. It's very interesting that I was in a building the other day that didn't have disabled access. This is a new building, brand new. Didn't have a place for a wheelchair to come up and down. I mean, you know, in this day and age, this is really interesting. And I think there are minority community after minority community after minority community just losing their rights left, right and centre. Now, the only people that can do anything about this are the Labour Party. Love them or hate them. And I think the vast majority of people see them as the Tories with a red rose. A bit like, but just think about what Blair and Brown did achieve in the time that they were there. Love them or hate them. They did do some good stuff for all of the different communities, including the 2010 Act.
It's really interesting. You're absolutely right. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that, you know, I've had plenty of support from people within the Labour Party. It is a broad church on this. I think they're being cowardly on this. Then I actually think the Health Secretary is not supportive of trans people. The Shadow Health Secretary, I mean, Wes Streeting, he's made comments before. I don't think he's an ally.
He's changed his mind, isn't he? The worst thing about people with no values is they change their mind.
I think that's the case. And yes, you're right. It would certainly be an improvement on this, but whether they would be brave enough to move back on this. Your point about overall equality across the board is absolutely right, because on top of this, the government are saying we don't need to do EDI work. Well, you know, we do. Yeah, so we know in the NHS that, for instance, if you look at staff, we know in the NHS that we have something called the Workforce Race Equality Scheme that if you're black, you're less likely to get a job after being shortlisted than you're white in many trusts, in many areas. And that's because of just biases and shine cultures and things like that. So there's a lot of work to do. We know the same for disabled people, staff and disabled patients. So there's a huge amount of work to do, but this government is saying that it's very time, because it's nailed its colours to this anti-woke idea that we need to do away with EDI work, equality, diversity, inclusion work. And there's many brilliant, and it costs such a small fraction of an NHS budget as to be almost negligible. But the positivity it brings to the fact that we're trying to make things better for those communities with poorer health outcomes is so important. And the NHS trusts get that, and the local authorities get that. But the government are saying we don't need to do this anymore because we're all anti-woke. And this is just woke nonsense, you know.
But there's another side to the argument here, because you're in that sector, you've been there all your life. I've been in the private sector all my life, never really worked in the public sector. And broadly, businesses do what's right to make more money. They're in, they want a diverse mixed workforce, because actually they need people who are bright. I'm doing a project at the moment with a group of highly skilled people. And these are people at the forefront of medical research in the private sector. Sorry about that, but they are. And of the 70 sort of senior scientists, 60 are neurodiverse and 30 are non-gender conforming.
Wow.
Now, these are people at the forefront of this area of, I don't really want to say what it is, of medical research. So So organizations don't care about this stuff, because all they care about is to have a good team, to have the best talent. Can we make the best product? Can we sweat the asset the hardest? And can we get the best return? However, having said that, a lot of the rainbow washing and dog whistling work around prides this year has disappeared out the corporate agendas. Now what's interesting is that if you go on LinkedIn, some of the trans EDI speakers are all complaining there's very little work this year, because actually organizations have dialed down on the amount of
I think so.
Money
and I
they're
think
putting
this
in
is
the space.
I think this is the part of the backlash that's happened in America, and this is about that attack on community. Now, I have a slightly strange view on that. I agree with you.
Stop this agreement. We're supposed to be having a row.
No, I agree with you on one part of it. And this is where I'll go to. So a lot of companies do rainbow washing, have the pride symbol, the rainbow flood symbol, cynically, because they don't really care. But actually, I think that means a lot, because it means they're doing that because they know it gets them more customers, and that means they know it's the right thing to do. So they've got fiduciary responsibility for profits. So ultimately, I understand that private organizations do that. But the fact that they understood that being positive by just putting rainbows on everything, okay, you can say they're being cynical about it. And I know a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't do it if you don't care. I don't care if they care. The fact that they're doing it because they know it will improve their bottom line says a lot about our society's progression. Yeah,
it's more important.
They know that people... Now they've stopped rolling back on that.
Yeah.
That is because they now see maybe the some of the tide has turned in terms of public opinion, and we know that. So there's a regular survey about attitudes, I think, towards trans people in the public that gets produced, and about how positive and negative, and those inevitably have swung more negative views towards trans people. I think it's still just about positive overall over the last 7 or 8 years, because of course the relentless battle. But if you go back, so the fact that they're stopping doing that is really worrying. Even if they were doing it cynically just because they want to make money, I don't really care about that. The fact that they're starting to do that says something that we should be worried about. I know a lot of people think, well, they shouldn't just use our rainbow flag on things. I've heard people say that, and I take the point on that, because they don't really care. I think what it demonstrates is more important about whether they care or not. It would be my take on it, and I think it worries me, because you can see, I think the turning point was the Bud Light, where the influencer that they had, Dylan Mulvaney.
Yes, Dylan.
So, and then there was because lots of organizations will do that, right? But they thought nothing of it, positive thing to do, it was just one. And there was this backlash because some attitudes had changed, to the extent it did affect their share price, and then they stopped doing it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's had that knock-on effect now, that think people are rolling back from that, and that has to be worrying to me. Has to be.
It's very complicated, isn't it? Because you've got situations in the States where you've got this massive fight back now by the on the Roe versus Wade thing on anti-abortion rights and such, like rights. And I am always more confident than you. I don't know why. I suppose because I am. It doesn't really matter why, does it? and I do think this is like a pendulum. This will swing back.
Yeah.
But I also know this about gutless, cowardly people, is that if you apply pressure to them, they'll cave. And so, I mean, I've just seen something on an interview with Susanna Thingamajig from GMB. Interviewing Keir Starmer, who's rolled back on trans rights, is back in Rosie Duffield now.
Yeah,
and it was an article in Pink News. It's always worth a good. It's always worth a read.
Indeed,
for a completely skewed view of the world, which is great, actually. Why not?
No,
lovely. But my point is, start complaining to the Labour Party. They're only interested in votes, and actually, they whilst there's a lot of thing about women is that they're not sort of awake yet to this. So they've got a lot of gender critical people, and you've got a lot of trans people, and this is a fight between two tiny minorities on either side of the political divide. The vast majority of cis women, I am pretty sure, don't care. Even You know, even on Women's Hour, they were talking about some of this stuff, and people were ringing and saying, "Why are you talking about this? We're not interested. We've got more important things to worry about. Why are we talking about a cost of living crisis? Why are we talking about the fact that Ukraine's about to go down the toilet? Why are we talking about what's happening in China? What the hell on it? Why are we not talking about bloody Donald Trump? I mean, we've got some bigger issues to worry about. This time next year, Jenny, we might have a pair of battle fatigues on, and well, I'll be marching to war, and you'll be directing operations from a command center somewhere in the Stoke area." And this is all about context, isn't it? The world's a very odd place at the moment, and there's lots to worry about.
No, it's horrific. I mean, you just see what's happening in Gaza. I mean, the genocide in that, and public opinion is changing on that. And you're absolutely right. There are bigger picture issues, but there are always bigger picture issues. But this is the fight of. And you're absolutely right. You know, there is a pendulum. Things progress will, there's part of me that thinks progress will always progress. And, there's an inevitability that eventually will, but it might be decades. We're rolling back.
But it might not be. Just think, it's only 20, it's 10 years, 2014, wasn't it? Since, I can't remember the person's name, when the trans person won Eurovision. Trans people were everywhere. Queer as Folk was out everywhere, trans people here, they're everywhere, winning everything, doing everything. And it's almost like somebody woke up one day, and you know my views, you know what I think was the trigger to this backlash. But once that happened, we've been getting a backlash ever since. We have.
I think this does date back to the consultation. This is why political left and right become muddied in this country. So it was a Conservative government, Theresa May's government, that wanted to improve things for trans people and consulted on that with really positive, and it got a positive response, but it gave a platform for the embedded anti-trans part of the UK, particularly in parts of the left.
It wasn't just anti-trans. It woke people up. We are talking about the same subject. We are talking about self-ID here, which is our biggest argument point, isn't it? Because I fundamentally believe this has been the biggest problem for us all. And I think it's certainly been the catalyst.
I agree with you. I agree with you that it has been the catalyst. Germany have just introduced self-ID. I agree with you.
We don't know yet. 6 months' time. I mean, they've got the rise of the far right in Germany at the moment.
No, but they've just introduced positive law. The issue they've got, and this is where I agree with you, that that's a point in time that you can trace where things have definitely spiraled for us.
Yeah.
It has been point after point, and that's been replicated in America, and it's been pointed. But I agree with you on that. And that should have been won. That argument was won in the consultation. And this is where the left and right are working. It was David Cameron's government introduced equal marriage. I get that. But the thing is with these things, with equality and progress, generally you're introducing laws that make things better. There's not really been laws introduced that made things worse. It's just that things were worse. Pardon? Section 28 was...
I think of lots of things that have been introduced that make...
The main one I can think about was Section 28 that was brought in 1988. That stopped schools saying it's okay to be gay, right? Basically, and that took till 2003. That's the one sort of in my lifetime law that was passed that said these people need to be treated differently. These people are dangerous. You know, this threatens to introduce laws and changes and go back on that is going to take a hell. It'll take more than a couple of parliaments to reverse. Because once that decision's been taken, this is not about improving things, this is about rolling something back. And I think that is much more difficult, personally, than are introduced.
But social movements travel faster than legislation. So basically what's happening at the moment, the social movement was traveling really fast, and then legislation caught up. And then what it tried to do in a very clumsy and clunky way was to enshrine something in law, which is lovely, but without any plan to make it work. So we had self-ID, fantastic.
We'll agree to it.
But now I can stick a wig on and go into a toilet. Now we're going to wake up they're going to wake up more than non-GC people. We're going to wake up people who think that's a mad idea. And, you know, I think always thought there's been a higher barrier to pass than that. However, social movements always do travel faster than legislation. So it is possible that legislation will happen.
I'm not.
But then social movement. That's why laws changed. Look at 1968. The social movement was there and it broke communism. Look at the 80s with the guy with a Polish name, Lech Walesa. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Social. That's how social movements work. And the thing is, for us, the legislation can change and go against us. But it's about constantly campaigning, keeping going, being normalised, and the social movement will swing, and then the legislation will change again.
It will do, but it will be it may be decades. It was decades for Section 28. It does matter because I'm not going to live more than many decades, right? I take your point. I know.
I'm miles older than you.
Well, I've always said so. Nobody can prove to me I'm not immortal, and until such point. That's evidently not the case.
I thought you were going to upload yourself to the internet.
I don't know. I get your point. I get your point. I mean, we agree, I think, a little bit. I think we do agree on parts of self-ID, because it's not been, countries that have introduced it have had no problems. It's not been rolled back. It is a sensible piece of legislation because it affects nobody but makes trans people's lives earlier. There's a particular issue in this country with parts of a movement that had been quite dormant, but had already expressed it. The anti-trans views were expressed back in the 80s, and it gave them the chance to come out. And sadly, because of the institutions in the UK in terms of the press and media, which is what makes the UK different, I think, than other countries, that's where we lost it. So the press and media were overwhelmingly against us, not people. People didn't care. And if they did care, they were generally pretty supportive. It was the press and media that drummed up this fear and hatred that is nonsense and the fear. So I agree with you that. And I, you are right, younger people get it, but we have to be really serious about this battle. We have to be really serious about trying to these things not change, because once the Equality Act's changed, once things are enshrined, it is going to be very difficult to overturn them. And you're right, we need to campaign against the allies we have in the Labour Party. I know plenty of people that have left the party, young people that have left the party because of their failure on trans rights. Younger people do not see
legislation can change overnight with political will. If you remember, 2 months ago, there was no legislation to pay the all the post office employees who were absolutely, I'm trying to think of a non-swear word, nadgered by what the post office and Horizon and Fujitsu and Horizon had done.
We were allowed to swear. They were fucked over. Right.
You've already got that. I've just remembered we were allowed to swear. But they were completely knackered by that. And within 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, legislation's being changed. Gone.
It is. It is. Yeah. But
legislation's quick.
Legislation can be. But something to overturn previous legislation is not. Right, because that... So I can't think of any example where a law's been passed and then a law's been passed very quickly after that.
Dangerous Dogs Act.
What do you mean, the Dangerous Dogs Act?
Dangerous Dogs Act came in and was amended within, I think, 6 weeks.
Amended, but not overturned.
But effectively overturned by actually being saying that this isn't right, so we have to change it to this.
Yeah, maybe it was workable, but that's not making it workable.
Afghanistan.
I can go there.
The Gurkhas, when the Gurkha legislation, Hong Kong legislation.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
You have trivial examples, but I am not confident.
I'm doing Rishi Sunak here. I'm just lying barefaced way.
You're not, and I always need to be counterpoint to my my malignant pessimism on this issue. And I guess that's partly. I think I weirdly take these things very personally, which is, it's weird when what a government is doing and a government you hate is doing to you and taking it very personally. I mean, it's the
way collateral damage.
As a charity we support, and what I do in my day, in a day job, this is seeking to undo 10 years of work I'm doing, where I'm talking to people about improving things in the NHS, and I'm going to have to revisit.
But it's, you see, this is the thing. I don't think it's undone. This is the thing about social causes, social movements. I mean, think about feminism. Feminism has endured. These are philosophies. And once you've won the argument, they're won forever. So the fact that legislation comes in and changes. The biggest thing, I can't believe I'm going to say this. But if you think about the sort of capitalist paradigm, here we go, spot the doctor in the room. This is what's actually behind a lot of this stuff. You know, A lot of what's going on in the UK at the moment is about how do you make incredibly wealthy people a little bit more wealthy. And we're just collateral damage. They don't care. Yeah. There's no
late stage capitalism.
That's
yeah.
all it is. I mean, you know, I've as you know, my political views are different to yours. And I find myself very homeless at the moment in terms of politics. But I forgot what I was saying now. These social trust the social movement. Trust all that work you've done over the last 10 years has never been wasted.
I changed minds
every single day.
I agree with you, and you know, I've,
stop it.
I agree with you to the extent that yes. Look, I do think if I look at long term, I think you know progress will come, and
it will.
As I said to you, younger generations get it. It is just not going to be an issue. But we are. But it'd be wrong for us to not say we're not in a battle, one of the most serious battles we as a community that we've been in on this.
I genuinely
believe this threatens this. If it happens in the NHS, threatens to undo all the good work that the Equality Act, you know, and you see, what was proposed on gender recognition, it will undo that. I don't know how it's workable apart from that.
I disagree with you here because I don't think we're in a battle. And I think actually it's the wrong narrative to be in a battle because okay. Then we have polarity and then we have sides.
So I think be my counsellor for a moment and tell me how I should rationalise that.
And I'm going to dance on a pinhead here. I think this is a negotiation. And I think that's what's actually going on here. And I think that's what's really going on behind the scenes is a negotiation for what's going on. And as soon as we stop turning these, it's like the battle against cancer. Then there's always winners and losers. What we have to do is we have to adapt. We have to figure out how to roll forward. If we entrench our battle lines, all jump into one side of the thing, and the other side are doing the same things, we never meet in the middle. This is not a battle. This is actually just the ongoing swing of the pendulum, and things need to be negotiated to make our lives better. I am sure that without the battle mentality, we'll be able to get more of our own way. I really do.
Maybe there is a different way of expressing it. I don't believe this is a two-side argument, battle, or whatever, negotiation that we've brought. This is people who want to see us eradicated. There are people who want to see us not exist. There are people in this country, in America and in this country, who said, I mean, the famous quote was that trans people are a problem in the same world, was one of the academics, the anti-trans academics, said, or something to those lines. There are people who do not want us to exist that will couch to what they say in language like genuine concerns.
But that's true, but not everybody. But you can't talk.
No,
about
not everybody.
It. But it's
these
like
people.
That.
These people are winning at the moment.
Yeah, that's all. That's the pendulum, and we were winning, and now we're not.
Yeah,
and now
yeah.
They are.
I mean, you're right in terms of battle isn't the right thing, but it's very hard not to see it that when your very being, your very validity, you have. And this is why the mental health of our community has suffered this last 7 years. You know, there's articles on this it's affecting the mental health of a community, and yet whether battle is the right language, I think I tend to think you're right on that. There maybe is a different way of expressing it. It feels to me like, as an actor, it feels to me like a battle. It feels to me like we're under siege, week in, week out, and that's the sort of language. And then somehow, this is where we need allies. We need to gather our resources. I think this is where I've been trying to think about how do we actually respond to this? Because I think generally most people aren't against us on these issues. But,
exactly.
You know, how do we gather that when we have no power as a community? We do not have power.
But we never gather it by sitting in a corner, yelling and screaming and throwing, you know, crap back at the other side. What matters is you have to think about, you never engage with the people who are anti you because you never can. So it's how do you work on the willing in the middle? And they're the key. And the good thing for us is that we're at one extreme, the GC mob are at the other extreme, and the vast majority of people in the UK, the other 73 million, are in the middle. And the vast majority of them just don't care.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although the idea of saying that in terms of anybody that sees themselves as a trans actor is in any way extreme is just missing the point. We're just talking about making our own validity. We're not extremists.
We're not extreme views. But we're different. What I'm talking about is.
But
the
other side.
The bell
there
curve
we are.
Of the numbers. Is
the
what
bell
I really
curve. What I would argue is, J.K. Rowling is an extremist. I am not an extremist on this issue. Now she would, I imagine, say something completely different. I imagine.
Exactly.
So fair dues. But I think it's no, random.
I'm talking about literal numbers of how many trans people are on one side,
yeah,
and how many GC and feminism on the other side. Well, probably the same numbers at the end of the day. But for me, it's how do we engage? It's how do we engage with those people who are willing to listen? And I think that's the key. And the way you engage with people who are willing to listen is to present a cogent, interesting argument. And the best, it's that classic thing. You know, I've done speeches in halls, and I know you have, where people have said at the end of it, you're just like us. And I said, yes. Why do you think we're any different? We're not out there, you know, all shoving poo through someone's letterbox. We just want to live. We just want to be unremarkable. I just want to live
anybody
our lives.
That's done that. Well, that's course, the whole point.
That's the thing. It's like 96 genders. It's like chest feeding. It's like all this bizarre nonsense.
Well, okay, you're giving examples then that come from the media that they want to hit us with.
Correct.
I take your point on.
Rubbish.
I take you, but it's not. I disagree that it's look. Point of is rubbish. But nobody's ever said there's 96 genders. Nobody from the bowel movement has ever said that.
I know.
But you paint that. Nobody's ever said that.
It's rubbish. The whole thing is that the narrative which has been built because we're having a battle is that this goes back to 2016 when one side spewed a load of lies and the other side spewed a load of stuff as well, some of which was a bit nonsensical. But this is the battle. This is how the battle has evolved. It's the same as what happened in 2016 with Scottish independence. The battle again. You know, what we do is we just shout and lie at each other. And actually what happens is when no one knows what the truth is. 96 genders is the most ridiculous thing ever. But it was being used today. Chest feeding was being used today.
Yeah, because it's
gaslighting. All of it's rubbish. No one's ever said that. Of course it is. So, and that's the thing. It's the thing like the person did on the Women's Hour with Kemi Badenoch. What's your evidence? How many people have actually complained in the NHS about having trans people in wards? I was just looking at the data before I went on. I think it's on the fingers of one finger.
Yeah, it's
tiny,
nothing.
Tiny numbers. There will be some people who are threatened by it. I understand that. I know someone who works in the prison service. They have all sorts of problems how to manage the trans issue in prisons, because actually you're trying to give equal rights to a group of people. There's three or four of them, and everybody else's rights are infringed by the three or four people. And that wasn't ever the point of the Equalities Act. The point of the Equalities Act is we need to find a way where everybody's rights are understood. But what's being perceived is that our rights have been, other people's rights have been trampled on to accommodate ours. And now
that's the
not
point,
us.
Because it's not.
That's not us saying that, is it? It's the perception.
No, of course it is. And of course,
I've started ranting now.
Yeah, I knew I'd get you there.
You've got all calm.
And you even said battle. I'll get you on the barricades with the placards at some point, Jill.
What frustrates me is I've reached a stage in my life where I've got nothing to lose. I'm very happy to on the barricades. Nobody wants me because they need to hoist me up there.
But I mean, you know,
this has turned into a therapy session. It's time we said goodnight to everybody.
It always does. And you're absolutely right. And we have to persuade. And it's important to get our allies on side. And this is me and you having this conversation. I've been speaking to this within one of my big employers today about this. I've got nothing but support of saying, look, well, we need you to, the way I put this is, if you believe this is not the right thing to do for our patients and our staff, you don't have to agree with me. But if you do agree with me, and we I got real positive. This is one of the NHS trusts I work for. I'm very proud to work for them. And, you know, I'm proud that they gave that positive response and they support what we do. And that is my approach should be our approach when we're talking to allies, to persuade them actually, look, if you think this is the right thing, you know, to do, this is me and you, and this is me being really angry. And, you know, I've spent through the, I was, you know, I've had a cry about this. Because I do take it personally, I do take it seriously, and I do take it personally, and it feels like yet another kit. And now I've been through the stage of grief where I'm just being angry. I don't know what all the stages of grief are on these things. Sure, you'll tell me. I do all those, right?
Oh,
and this
no,
is me.
That will never happen. Oh my God, it's happened. Oh, I'm so
I don't
depressed.
Know what bit is just madly swearing. But I think it's important we discuss this, and I think it's important. Yes. I take your point, but I do think it's important we make sure we mobilize in this consultation.
Correct.
Period. because if we can get a body of opinion saying this is not the right thing to do, and you're right, maybe this can be headed off, you know, and maybe my worst fears won't come true.
So to quote Alistair Campbell's book, so what can I do? So get on with that government consultation, find your union, your local body, your local MP, particularly a Labour MP, and start sending letters in. And letters are really wonderful in emails because they're written in the tract and they're evidential, and that's really, really important. Don't ring up, don't talk to people, don't say, because I've been in a meeting, my view counts, it's got to be written down. And we'll get through this. And the what you have to remember, Jen, is this. The pendulum in 2014 or whenever it was in our direction. Now it's against, but what's going to be like in another 10 years? You're still going to be here. I'm going to be basically fodder for worms. So on that note...
No, but I doubt that you'll outlive me by a mile, Jill. I'm absolutely convinced of that.
You're only 27.
What would Alistair Campbell do? I was just going to say sex up a dossier on weapons of mass destruction, but maybe not.
Let's not go there.
I do quite like a lot of the things he says now. I think he's a very, very interesting podcaster as well. But
so we need to go. Yes. Because
we
there are people. There are people who are literally thinking, when will this ever end? So I'm going to say goodnight, and I'll see you on the next one.
We'll see you all soon. Thank you, Jill. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Transvox. It's been a joy to have you with us. If you want to make contact with us, you can contact us at gillian@transvox.co.uk. And if you'd like to support the work we do, please go to Patreon and go to page Transvox. And all of our money goes to our nominated charity. And Jen, you've chosen the charity for the next number of episodes. Which one have you chosen?
Our charity is called Beyond Reflections, which is a charity that provides support and counselling to trans people, non-binary people and their friends and their families across the UK. An amazing charity doing some amazing work, really important. So please, if you can, give.
Great. And if you want to go and have a look at Beyond Reflections, it's beyond-reflections.org.uk. And but as I say, if you'd like to make a contribution to what we're doing, because we love to help the people who help us. Again, if you've got ideas for the show, things you'd like to ask us, questions, comments, applause, or brickbats, feel free to send it all in to gillian@transvox.co.uk. Until the next time, goodbye.
Bye-bye.